We come together this morning in a consciousness of unity, of harmony, of love, and great joy. As we have turned off the worldly noise, we just come to this moment just to be with the God of our being, to let go of any other thought, perhaps concerns that we might have in life, and just allow ourselves to hear whatever we need to hear, release what needs to be released, and mostly just to surrender to the one mind, the one power, the one presence, that which we call God, infinite good. As we move forward this morning into this journey of successful living, we know that we are all already established in that consciousness, that our hearts are opened, our minds are open, and that this morning we'll have a pearl to take home with us that will allow us to have a sense of greater power as we go through this week. And that whatever else may be going on in life, we know that there is always a power within us greater than we are, if we're willing to just turn it over to that power. So just for this next hour, we let go and we let God. We now release these words. We let them be. We give thanks in advance. And so it is. So this month, we are exploring the idea of creating a successful life. Not that your life isn't already successful, but it's however you choose to define success to yourself. Our theme the whole month has been the spiritual art of success. It's been based on Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles, going from where you are to where you want to be. And over the past weeks, we've described a variety of ways that that can happen. And I want to give you another definition of success this morning, as we've talked about it in the prior weeks. But this definition comes from the great metaphysician and philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I believe that it is really spot on what he says about what succeed actually means. He says to laugh often and much. We can check that one off, right? To win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children. To earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends. To appreciate the beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. So this quote goes back to one of our first principles of success, according to Jack Canfield in his book, Success Principles, which we have available for you today at the book table. That success principle that we first talked about was to be on purpose. And to be on purpose, he said that there were two factors that were extremely important if we wanted to be on purpose. He said one was joy and the other one was service. Emerson's quote surely describes joy and service. And it surely expands our worldly definition and opinion of what we think success is. And when we are on purpose, when we are 100% responsible for our experience, that was another principle we talked about. And then last week we talked about when we become our own inner coaches rather than our best inner critic. Then we are really on the road to succeeding, or certainly moving toward living from Thomas Edison's quote that I've shared each and every month. If we did all the things we are capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. And then we brought that down to a more personal level, and we said, if I did all the things I am capable of doing, I would literally astound myself. So let's say that together. If I did all the things I'm capable of doing, I would literally astound myself. Now, to support our astounding ourselves, today we're going to explore two success principles, which I'm putting under the heading of the naked truth about success. So let's get to it. It's success principle number 26. By the way, there are 65. And it's called acknowledge your positive past. Now, I'm reminded of a quote in Ernest Holmes' great book, Creative Mind and Success. And he said, in order to have success, we must first conceive it in our own thoughts. Now, a good way to conceive in our own thoughts is to remember and to also consciously acknowledge it. Now, some of you might say, what positive past? Some of us don't necessarily look at our past as being very positive. However, if I asked you to think about one success from last week, would it easily come to you? How about if I asked you to think about how you messed up last week? Did that come easier? In my experience, when I asked that question, it seems that our mess-ups come more readily than our victories. Apparently, we are actually programmed to remember our failures. That's certainly true for me. I don't know about you. We're all getting better, I'm sure. The interesting thing is that Canfield explains why this is, which I found very interesting, and that's on page 195 of Success Principles. And he says that as we were growing up, there was almost always more emotional intensity around your errors, mistakes, and failures than there was around your successes. Because the brain more easily remembers events that were accompanied by strong emotions, most people underestimate and underappreciate the number of successes they had in relation to the number of failures they've had. The sad truth is that we all have had more victories than failures. It's just that we've set the bar too high for what we call success. And when we get real about how many successes in life we've had, and when we have had them, to be sure, we set the stage for greater and even greater success. Why is this? Interesting, he says, because it impacts our self-esteem. Canfield calls this the poker chip theory of success, and he describes it like this. Imagine for a moment that your self-esteem is like a stack of poker chips. Then imagine that you and I are playing a game of poker. You have 10 chips, and I have 200 chips. Who do you think is going to play more conservatively in this game of poker? Yes, you are. If you lose 2 bets of 5 chips, you're out of the game. I can lose 5 chips 40 times before I'm out of the game. So I'm going to take more risks because I can afford to take the losses. Your level of self-esteem, according to Canfield, works the same way. The more self-esteem you have, the more risks you're actually willing to take. And then he goes on to talk about what research has shown us. Research has shown over and over again that the more you acknowledge your past successes, the more confident you become in taking on and successfully accomplishing new ones. You know that even if you fail, it won't destroy you because your self-esteem is high. The more you risk, the more you win in life. The more shots you take, the more chances you have of scoring. Knowing that you have successes in the past will give you the self-confidence that you can have successes in the future. Interesting, isn't it? Now, it's difficult to remember all of that, so you probably will want to purchase the book so that you can check that out. Now, having said all of that, there are really two very exciting and valuable ways in which to acknowledge this positive past that Canfield suggests we all have, which we're going to talk about this morning, and I'm going to bet my stack of 200 poker chips that you're going to go home and be really inspired to do this exercise. It's really simple, and I actually did it, and I have to say it was a pretty amazing process, but also the end result can be pretty shocking. He said, first divide your life into thirds, however short or long it has been. So you would take your age and you would divide it by three. And then he says, list three successes that you have had for each period. That just sounds so easy. Three successes that you've had for each of those periods. Then after you've done that, he said, to really convince yourself that you're a successful person who can continue on to achieve great things, there's a second thing to do. This one's a little bit more confronting. List 100 or more of your life successes. Now, you may have to dig fairly deep to get that 100, and you may have to spend a little time on it, but please, please do this at home when you have some time. You will be amazed at how you feel afterwards. I never thought that reflecting back into past successes could be as powerful as it actually is. And remember something that Canfield said, the truth is that we all have many, many more victories than failures. It's just that we've set the bar too high for what we call success. Don't set the bar too high for this list of 100. I'm going to give you some examples, actually give you the first five, so you will only really have to do 95. So let's start out with the fact that you were born. You learned to sit up. You learned to crawl. You learned to walk. And you learned to talk. So there you go. You only have 95 to go. This is an amazing experience. What you will come up with and what will just come up naturally will really amaze you. It might even be easier after you do the first part and you split your life in thirds. It's like, my goodness, am I really that old? It's pretty amazing how many increments of 20 years you get. And then when you do the second part, it just seems to flow very, very easily. He also suggests something that I think is important as well. He said to keep this list handy, to keep it either at your desk, in your home, a place where you are a lot, so that you can read the list over. Now remember that all we're ever really doing is reprogramming our subconscious mind. And every time you program it with something positive, which this list certainly is, it just accepts it. It has no idea if you're just talking about it, if it actually just happened, if it were an experience or anything else. And it also has the power to take some of those old tapes that we have and replace them with new victories and new successes. So it's really a great exercise and in many, many ways. When you read over this list, rather than being maybe too shy about it or setting the bar too high, let it bolster you. Let it allow you to feel more confident, perhaps even more courage in having a successful life or experiencing success, especially when you might be about ready to move into something scary. It's to look over this list and see the things that you accomplished that I'm sure you had a little bit of fear about in the past, but you went ahead, you expanded, included the fear, and you accomplished the goal anyway. Now on to the other success principle for today. This is now principle 53, and it's called Practice Uncommon Appreciation. How better to acknowledge success than to be grateful for where you are and for those who empowered you and supported you to get to where you are, as well as yourself. Mother Teresa said, "There's more hunger for love and appreciation in this world than there is for bread." More hunger for love and appreciation. The interesting thing is, in reading about love and appreciation, is that it has to start with us. We have to start with self-love and self-appreciation. We also know that like attracts like, so that more that we are in a state of appreciation and gratitude, the more we attract to be grateful for. That's a reminder also that you might want to glue on your mirror so that you remember to love and appreciate yourself. When we are appreciating what we have, instead of focusing on what we don't have, which many times not only gets us into a consciousness of lack because we're saying we don't have it, it many times gets us into a consciousness of not appreciating because we are focusing on what we don't have rather than the appreciation and gratitude for what it is we do have. When we focus on what we do have, we open ourselves up to receive more and more good. It becomes sort of this upper spiraling process of ever-increasing good that just continues to get better and better. Now, that's how it works, and I think we all know exactly how it works. I think where we fall short is we don't practice it. And when we do practice it, it's kind of sporadic. We don't practice it consistently enough. Something important about this teaching and about every discipline is the consistency in the way in which we practice it. It's fine to work out once a week or twice a week, but it's even better when you do it consistently and you do it every day. Or you do something for your greater good each and every day. It's the same thing with our meditation, our prayer work, and our treatment work. If we do it on a consistent basis, it's amazing what happens. Appreciation, again, is twofold. First the self, and then others. I don't know if I've told this story before, but you've probably heard it before, so bear with me. I just think it's worth repeating. David Cass Stevens, formerly of the Dallas Morning Noon, tells a story about Frank Shemaisky, who was a Notre Dame center in the 1940s. And he had been called in as a witness in a civil suit in Indiana. "Are you on the Notre Dame football team this year?" the judge asked him. "Yes, Your Honor," he said. "What position?" "Center, Your Honor." "How good a center are you?" Shemaisky squirmed in his seat for a moment and then said very firmly, "Sir, I'm the best center Notre Dame ever had." The coach, Frank Leahy, who was also in the courtroom, was a little bit surprised at Shemaisky because he'd always been rather modest, unassuming. So when the proceedings were over, he said to Shemaisky, "What's the deal? I mean, that was really kind of an out there, bold statement you made." Shemaisky blushed and he said, "I hated to do it, coach, but after all, I was under oath." I think we all ought to be under oath for the rest of our lives and own the magnificent beings that we are, the positive qualities that we have, and certainly the wonderful accomplishments that we have achieved. We might be a little bit short-sighted when it comes to that past victories and successes, because we can become so focused on where it is we're going and setting goals for the future. But there's a wonderful process. We know that if we can't be satisfied with what we have, what makes us think we'll be satisfied with anything more? So if where we are is not okay, it would be difficult to move forward because it doesn't give us freedom of choice. It means that somehow we're resisting what we have, thinking that what we don't have will be better than what it is we do have. But as we glance back quickly, knowing that yesterday ended last night, yesterday was the day before your future. Already today, it's now part of your past. I guarantee that within the last 48 to 72 hours, you had some amazing accomplishments. You had some empowering conversations with people. You probably lifted up people that you don't even know you lifted up. And perhaps you made yourself available to have somebody lift you up. Or perhaps you just went above and beyond the call of duty. Perhaps you just allowed yourself to be a little more tolerant or patient than you had been prior. These may sound like small things, but you know what, folks? It's all small things. There's very few big things. There's just a lot of little things that keep adding up and adding up, and then they become these large things. So it is the small things in life. It is the details that we pay attention to in life. Paying attention to our thoughts may seem like a very minuscule detail, but it's a pretty heavy thing when you think that thoughts are things, that every thought we have comes back to us in some form and in some fashion. Again, quoting our textbook, The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, "I shall not lie to myself anymore, but shall daily speak the truth to my inner soul, telling it that it is wonderful and marvelous." Telling your inner soul every day, starting with those powerful words, "I am," to be able to say, "I am wonderful and marvelous." Let's say that. "I am wonderful and marvelous." Let's say it again. "I am wonderful and marvelous." Now stand up if you're able. And let's say it with real conviction this time, so it really does hit our soul. Let's do it on three. One, two, three. "I am wonderful and marvelous." Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Take the time to appreciate yourself, yes, and also the time to appreciate others. And here's something else Canfield tells us that we could do. He said, if you could set your intention to offer 10 appreciations to others every day, what if you recorded every time you appreciated someone? And then you commit to not going to bed until you have offered 10 different appreciations every day. Now, here's the thing about appreciation. It has to be genuine. It has to come from the heart and from the soul. This isn't just to glaze people over. This is to really come from your heart, to look deeply within yourself and look and see what you appreciate, not only in yourself deeply, but in others. And of course, what if you lived in an attitude of gratitude for the source of it all? That would be the infinite. That would be living in an attitude of gratitude for God, infinite good, for supplying us, for comforting us, for always fulfilling our needs, for giving us what we don't even know we need, and for many times having the wisdom to be so smart to not give us what we desire, but what we actually really need. That kind of wisdom, living in that grace, that graciousness, and that gratitude will only attract more and more of that to you. I wonder what kind of impact that would have on each individual life. If we could stay so focused on gratitude and appreciation. Now, you'll never know unless you're willing to do it. So my suggestion is that we do this, that we really make a conscientious effort, an intention. Maybe it needs to be a personal commitment to ourselves. We have all kinds of goals and commitments and lofty dreams, many of which you shared with me the last Sunday in September. But perhaps living in a state of appreciation and gratitude allows us to celebrate our successes. And really celebrating your successes can only heighten your self-esteem. How many of you suffer from way too high self-esteem? Few of you, not. So that's an area that most of us are lacking a bit, wouldn't you say? Not that we're not better than we were. We know that. We're not. We're a lot better than we were. But we still have a ways to go until we no longer have to say, I'm wonderful and marvelous. But we just bounce out of bed going, I am so wonderful and marvelous. Look out, world. Here I come. Before that happens, there's some very, very usable tools to apply so that we can heighten our self-esteem. Of course, positive affirmations always help. But really, the assignment would be this week to celebrate your successes without setting the bar too high. Those were two powerful attractors that we talked about this morning to experience the life you deserve and certainly the life I know you desire to live. And that's really all I have to say about the naked truth about success. So I thank you very much. Okay, sit back. Take a couple of big, deep breaths. We just surrender to this joyous moment as we celebrate friendship, as we celebrate love and appreciation for ourselves and for others. And we know that we've been inspired this week to move forward in friendship, in a sense of love, appreciation, and that we're going to look back into our joyous, positive past and see how great our successes were. And then those successes are going to allow us to move forward with such grace and ease and courage and confidence. Being grateful for what we have and then allowing all the good that we desire to come to us naturally. The more we are grateful, the more we count our blessings, the more blessings come to us. So let us each this morning know that we have magical blessings that we are so grateful for, and that the law of attraction is in high gear, and it is bringing to each and every one of you all the glory, all the happiness, all the abundance, and all the success that you so desire. You just need to be open and receptive to receive. God is good. God is always willing to give, is just looking for the receiver. So we declare ourselves to be the giver and the receiver, and to know that God is the gift and the giver. In gratitude, we release these words. We know that they go forth and they prosper. They manifest in the right and perfect ways. And so it is.